Hey everyone, welcome back. It is We Watch Stuff number 169. Insert childish laugh there. I am Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just counting down the days to my vacation. A long coming, long way to vacation when I celebrate my 40th birthday.
Oh, that's right. God, I forgot I'm 5 years older than you.
Yes. I keep forgetting the age. I keep thinking the age gap is small until you like, no, I ain't watched, like, by the time that show came on, I was already a grown up. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's right.
But see, and the other problem is I'm way more immature than you are. So that'll definitely throw people off. So yeah, so we took a break last week, and fortunately nothing in the world happened, so we have nothing to cover from last week. Boy, I really want to talk about what we were saying we're going to end the show with now, but we can wait. In other black people news, Kofi Kingston is now the second biggest star in WWE.
In other black people news.
Yep.
Well, we need some good thing in Black History Month, considering all the bad stuff that's happened. You know what's funny? It's just amazing what, like, 2 weeks can do.
It's amazing what a good story can do.
And it all becomes of happenstance. Like, he basically got that spot because Mustafa Ali was injured. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you realize, like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot Kofi Kingston's real good, and he's been good for, like, over a decade.
Yeah, okay, so we'll back up. Sorry, guys. So for those of you who don't watch wrestling, WWE always has a transition period, which they're out of. And they're on the way to WrestleMania. Well, Mustafa Ali, there's an event called the Elimination Chamber, and one of the new guys, Mustafa Ali, who has taken pretty much everyone by surprise, was supposed to be in it. He got a concussion, and they put future legend, I guess now, Kofi Kingston in there. And Kofi's been around forever. Well, he showed out the Tuesday before the Elimination Chamber, and then they turned it into he was the last one in there with Daniel Bryan, and by God, whether it was booked that way, or if the crowd did it, or if Daniel or Brian, whatever, and he just did it their own way, that was probably since Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30, the most compelling thing we've seen.
I mean, men-wise, yeah, like women.
I'd put that above Becky, though.
I would say this, as far as like storyline is. I think it's tied, like, a particular man. Because I was trying to think, like, the Elimination Chamber. The last time I was invested of, like, who will win and lose was when Becky fought Charlotte that last man standing match. But men, yeah, it got to be that Mania, like, Triple Threat, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Batista match. Because it's just funny, like, you know, he's in first season that match Tuesday, and you don't think anything of it. And then you realize he's in there, and he wins his first match. And he wins his second match. Then he wins his third match. You're like, he's been in there. He was being in there 62 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, we just had Seth Rollins do that. And it was like, that was just amazing. You don't think of, like, Kofi Kingston like that. And it's like Kofi Kingston's been around. But it's like almost like, you know, he's been Tito Santana. Like, you know, he has good matches. He's fun. The crowd likes cheering for him. But you don't really, like, look too deep in his career. And then you look back, it's like, yeah, like, the majority of the time he's been there, he's had a title. Like, he's never had the world title, but he's had almost everything else. And you realize, like, he's had a lot of good to very good matches. But it's like he's never been that whole the guy thing. Like, ever since that push of Randy Orton that got aboard, it's like he's just been there. And he had one good night, and Twitter just blew up. Like, people like, oh, yeah, I forgot Kofi Kingston was, you know, we used to him eating pancakes and cracking jokes with Big E and Xavier. You forget, oh, they give him a chance. He's a very good wrestler. Then you get to the pay-per-view, and everybody's just chanting for him, the whole night. And that elimination match, that was it was painful in a good way. Like, why you want to watch wrestling? Because I was all, like, rooting for – I'm at work just rooting for him. Like, come on, you can do it. Come on, win. And normally I'll just watch, and I'm, like, either watching for a good match or, like, indifferent. I'm like, as long as I'm entertained, that's fine. I don't normally have, like, a rooting interest or get emotionally invested. I got emotionally invested Sunday. Like, And I was just surprised. And when he missed that splash and I knew he was going to lose, I was so deflated. I was like, this sucks. Like, yeah. Even though it's kind of like the right thing, and kudos to Daniel Bryan because he worked his ass off. Like, I don't want to be forgotten that he worked his ass off that match too, because he started from the beginning and he just made Kofi like $1 million and he made himself like $1 million and 1 cent.
Yeah, I wonder if he has, like, if Kofi didn't have the right partner, if it would have worked out in that case. I mean, I guess AJ probably. Like, Randy wouldn't have, but I know you disagree, but even having Randy beat him. Well, okay, so when you, and last night, did you notice Kofi yelling stupid at Randy Orton?
Oh,
that was great.
On that, guess what's even greater? Somebody posted that on Twitter, showing like when Randy did it to him, and then and then the payback. And guess who liked the tweet?
Oh, I know Orton did.
Randy Orton.
Yeah. So he still gets a bad rap because he probably is still kind of an ass. But yeah, he knows he's older now.
And yeah, like that definitely felt good when he did that. Just like it felt good when he eliminated him Sunday. And it's funny, like yes. All it took was 1 week. And then, like, Triple H starts Raw, talk about Kofi Kingston, and the crowd's chanting. They come out Tuesday, and they chanting for him, like, multiple times. He wins that match, pinning Daniel Bryan. And at first, I think they changed plans. Like, original plans was supposed to be, like, a three-way with Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, and Joe. And whatever happened, they just changed, like, they saw it was hot, and it's like, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm, for some reason, I'm dreading that match at Fastlane.
It's got to be last.
He got to win it.
Well, I'm saying it has to be last because if he doesn't, that show's over.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it's going, he has to go last. I don't. Okay, this isn't how I would have done it. Like, even it's a weird time because Becky Lynch is obviously going to be in the main event. All right. And at WrestleMania. And they insert Charlotte. But apparently the plan still is just to have Becky and Ronda. It's changed. Well, people are shitting on the story. They're all upset. Instead of just waiting it out. You know?
You know what? But
I know that there's a history lately of not giving the fans what they want. Which is a big part of it.
No. You know what's funny about that? Because I remember you and Kevin was talking about it. And you were saying, like, it's not the fact, like, the story makes sense from a storyline standpoint. Like, everything they do makes sense. It's just a bad feeling because of, like, history.
Yeah.
I think it's more like a meta. It's kind of like, you know, one. It's like they want to have the cake and eat it too. Like, you know, like WWE is feeding into that stereotype that they know, like, y'all know we always mess stuff up and who y'all go. And it's like they're playing around with us. But it's like, yeah, y'all, I brought up the whole point, like, with that. Regard that match, it's kind of like, I don't necessarily have an issue with the storyline by itself, but I always feel like, you know, Mania 17 when you had The Rock and Steve Austin. Like, imagine Triple H just butted in for no reason.
That's where I was going with that, actually. Yeah.
And I was thinking about, like, you know, like, yeah, be the match is better, but you don't need, like, it's not that they wouldn't have a great match with Charlotte. It's like, that match don't need Charlotte.
Right. Yeah,
and it just seemed like it's a waste. Like, it's just taken away from that match. Even though, like, from storyline standpoint, it fit. It's from, like, real life. It doesn't need a storyline. It makes sense. But thinking about that, like, the whole thing, people wonder, like, well, Kofi win. Like, it's precedence, like, winning the title before Mania because Eddie Guerrero beat Lesnar.
That's what I was thinking Sunday watching. Like, they're doing this again. They're gonna do it. Like, they said the hell with the plans and this and. You know, it's funny because you start watching and you're like, Daniel Bryan's got that brand new hemp belt and all this, and they're going to change it over already and whatever else, but
he might keep the belt and make jokes about smoking it.
I don't know if you're allowed to do that, but that'd be pretty funny. But
I mean, it's funny, they made an Empire, we'll save it for later, they made an Empire joke. So
yes, they did.
Like, New Day likes making jokes like that. If you follow pop culture, you keep up. So they with a way where if you don't, you don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like, I don't see why he can't be champion. Because it's like, it's not this whole, you know, lifetime achievement award thing. Like, he earned the, if the crowd wasn't behind him, he wouldn't be in the spot. Like, he earned that. And he's got the skill for it. But the thing that bothered me a little, it's not even related to him. It's, and it's funny, it comes in February, one of the reasons why I talk about it. It's this whole, we're going to finally have a black WWE champion thing.
Oh, dude, do we really want to do this? Because we've covered this before. I'm not even talking about
the whole Rock thing.
Oh, okay.
Talking about the whole, because I could talk about that, I'm going to leave that alone. It's the whole thing how we just crap on Booker T and Mark Henry because, like, whoa, that was the world championship. That was the WCW belt.
And don't count.
They said that. WWE. Okay. Yeah, it's like they talk about, you know, Ron Simmons with WCW. That's different. And Booker T and Mark Henry won the world heavyweight championship. That's not the WWE championship. But that's only held it against them. I never heard people complain about Batista winning that belt. Like, that was his belt for the longest. Nobody ever said he was like a fake champ or didn't count. And that belt meant a lot more when he was fighting Triple H for it than the WWE Championship when Cena beat JBL for it. Like, it seemed like this whole black, like, you know, the world champion only count when you wanted to count. And it's like you move the goalposts like, oh, so... It's like Booker T gets punished for having that belt because the great Khali had that belt too. It's like, that's, I mean, like.
Don't put it that way.
What I was like, you know, is like the WWE titles, like, yeah, you had great people had it. It's like, yeah, Dean Ambrose had that belt. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, no offense to Dean Ambrose, but it's like, he ain't like a headline of WrestleMania before. It's like, and the belt means as much as the person who has the title. And I just get annoyed when people, because that came up. I mean, of course, it's been February, so of course that was going to come up. But it's like, no, Kofi should win that title because he earned, as much as you can earn anything in wrestling, he earned that. And he's, and the most important thing is, does it really matter that much? Like really?
What do you mean matter?
As far as, like, we make a big deal about the world champion, it's like Brock Lesnar's the world champion. He's barely there. Like, and, like, I know it's important, but it's only important because he's important, not because he wrestles a lot to make it important. It's like, you know, AJ Styles made that belt super important. He doesn't have that belt, and it's like they don't even know what to do with him.
Yeah, see, yes. And I think the thing with Brock, though, if I'm trying to make sure I say this right. If Brock wasn't on Raw, and like when Seth Rollins, like they had a big push that when, you know, Roman had it, that was going to be the big belt again. The Universal title was going to be the big one.
Mm-hmm.
And the WWE one just bounces around. Like somehow that's not important because it's on Raw. If it was on Raw, WWE one would be more important. And I lost my train of thought on it. Damn, I actually had a point to it, so I was just trying to dig myself out as I was talking, and it didn't work.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the belts, it is not, and I realized, like, it's not a whole lineage of the belt thing, it's a show thing.
Right.
Yes. And people try to make it like, you know, the lineage, that belt don't count because Triple H made it up and yada yada. I'm like, no, it's because Raw always seemed like the most important show. So where was the champion on Raw? You know, that's what matters. Because trust me, when JBL had that belt on SmackDown, that was the lineal title. Nobody thought that belt was more important than Triple H having the old WCW belt. Nobody. To the fact that they made jokes about it plenty of times. And AJ Styles has been having, you know, 4 and 5-star matches with that belt for like a year and some change. And he always in the mid-card. Like, they don't get to end the show unless, you know, Raw doesn't have anything. So, yeah, like, the belt has weight depending on, you know, what show it is and who has it. Like I say, give Kofi his shot, because somebody made a good point. I forgot who it was on Twitter. It was saying, like, you know, somebody said, it was a wrestler, like, the fact that fans want to see him win shows what type of wrestler he is. The fact that wrestlers want to see him win shows what type of man he is.
Yeah.
And I forgot who said it, and I wish I didn't forget. It's like, yeah, like, you never hear anything bad about Kofi Kingston. Like, ever. You just hear, like, he's this great family man, he's cool in the locker room, he's just enjoying himself, and he has reason to be bitter, like, if he wanted to be, because you think about, it's funny when you see that old clip with Orton, it's like, they screwed Kofi Kingston, like, he was on that rocket to be, like, world champion on Raw, and one night just ruined that.
Okay, I remember the match and all that, I don't remember what set him off. That's how inconsequential it was.
It was like he got hit with the punt kick, and apparently he's supposed to stay down. He didn't stay down, and then he got up, and I think it was like they did a spot right before the RKO that looked kind of clunky. He just hit him with this RKO, and like he just lost. Like, it wasn't even that big a deal. And Randy Orton, that just treat him like he stepped on his shoes and pissed on his mom. Like, he just blew a gasket. And then that was during the time it was like, you know, Randy Orton, if he wanted to, he'd get you fired. Like, back in those days.
It's funny. It's funny how that kind of turns around. Because, like, I honestly think Randy's bored to tears. And that's why when they were talking about him going to AEW, or he be, or whatever, his agent saying he'd be open to talking about AEW or whatever, everyone's like, oh my God, he's going. And I'm like, ah, I can see him going because he doesn't look interested. And it's not just his character trying to be like sly or whatever else. So like him like liking something with Kofi, I think this may actually help him a little bit. But going back into the past to now, that's a totally different person.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope so, because it's a lot of time, you know, that was like a decade ago, you mature, you know, he's a family man with kids and stuff, so it's like, I would hope he wouldn't have the same mindset he had back when he was a monster in the 2000s. You just don't realize, it's like, yo, yeah, Kofi Kingston been doing this 11 years, and you realize, like, yeah, he's been doing this 11 years, and you realize, like, damn, it's a long-ass time.
I think it also helps that Orton's rich, and he doesn't have to worry about his spot, too.
Man, I always laugh.
That's always.
I mean, it's just funny who they're like, Undertaker taking indie spots, and I'm like, why?
Yeah. I mean,
if you can make, I mean, it's easy money if you charge like $25,000 an hour. It's like, if somebody dumb enough to give it to you,
he's getting paid $60,000, I think, for that, StarCast? Is that what it's called? Yeah, mm-hmm. StarCast. $60,000 for that.
I mean, if it's
to sit there.
Yeah, $60,000, $60,000. Like, if somebody paying it, you know, what they say, if people give the money, I'm going to take it. So,
yeah. Oh, I'm not judging them. Don't get me wrong.
I'm just, like, surprised when they, like, on one hand, it's like, if it's free money, you just got to show up there and, like, barely do anything. On the other hand, it's like, do he, I guess, need his relative. Does he really need the money?
He's got a bunch of ex-wives. I don't know.
I mean,
but you'd think that'd be taken care of, to be completely honest.
Like, so. he's been making real good money for a long ass time, and he doesn't seem like the type to, like, even with alimony checks, he don't seem like the type to just, he don't seem like he's living a Ric Flair lifestyle.
No. Well, it's also, supposedly, this is just from listening to Meltzer, that there may be something more to it, because apparently they have nothing for him for WrestleMania, which, good. So, I mean, I know he probably doesn't like it, but after a while, I'm like, you know, everyone gets phased out, man. So,
I mean, it's different when it's like, you know, that you're like, you that main head on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
We'll get a segue. But it's like, yeah, WrestleMania is just weird because WrestleMania will be here in a few months. It ain't that many matches set in stone. Like,
one.
You got two, Seth Rollins and Brock in the Raw women's match, but it's like you got a lot of people where you have no idea what they're doing. Like, beside the fact, like, who's coming back, you know, like, I forgot until I saw it on Twitter. I like, oh yeah, R-Truth is U.S. R-Truth is the champ.
Holy shit, you're right.
And it's funny, I remember it was a big deal. I remember it was a big deal when it happened, but SmackDown is that type of show where if you're not on TV, I mean, it'd be people be on TV, miss a few weeks, like, oh, yeah, that's right. He does have the belt.
Yeah,
so,
just like Asuka coming back and then losing.
We know white privilege is undefeated.
Dude, that was infuriating last night.
I laughed at that because I knew. It's like, you know, at least the loss was protected, but it was just funny because it's like, you know, people lost their damn minds with good reason. And I just laugh because it's like, I'm assuming she's going to have a match at Fastlane. She got to wrestle somebody. So,
I'm guessing it'll be Mandy Rose now.
Yeah. But, and it's like, you know, how you going to have that set up? Like, she got to, like, lose to have the set up. So, and it's like, it's not like she got beat clean, anything like that. But
still.
It's a good point to wrap with SmackDown. No, it's just funny with the whole Mandy Rose character because it's like, she's like straddles two different eras as far as like women's wrestling, because she looks like, and she's portrayed like one of the divas from like the late 90s, early 2000s. You know, they got the Cinemax music and she's like a pinup model, stuff like that. But then she wrestles like she's a Japanese, like she looks like she can deadlift like 350 pounds. She wrestles like a power wrestler. She doesn't look like, it's funny, like she looks the way she looks, but she wrestles the way she wrestles. And then it's like told, oh, you hit me and I got need in my left eye, so I'm going to hold my right eye and pretend like, oh, I got hurt. And then cheap win, the whole stuff with Naomi, like, I'm mad at Naomi because she hurt my feelings during Tough Enough and I broke up with my boyfriend, so I'm getting revenge. Like, really? Like, you, like, I know women insecurity is a thing, but you're going to tell the WWE Universe that someone like Mandy Rose couldn't get over breaking up with her boyfriend?
Yeah, yes, and that's the whole thing was hollow, which is kind of the point of her character, too. Like,
yeah.
So she's clearly lying, but...
Yeah, like, I mean, it fits, so it's just funny having that. It's like, Asuka's just going to... She just needs something to do, so she's going to probably bulldoze her, but...
I feel bad for her, though, because she's getting Lacey Evans next.
They like Lacey Evans.
Ugh, hey...
I make jokes every time she comes out. Like, they, like... And you could tell, it's funny. What's better than a blonde, like, all-American girl? A Mexican pretending to be that.
Who's that?
Lacey Evans. Her name is... Her last name is Estrella.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. Me and Rich joke about it all the time. They have somebody cosplaying as a blonde, blue-eyed G.I. Joe hero.
And everyone got fooled by Yokozuna, so
and we still getting fooled. It's like
that's you would crazy never,
you would never guess looking, you know, unless you look real hard. But no, she's just coming out and not even doing anything. And it's like she's getting that, you know. I guess they miss Eva Marie, so they
she's
need
not, some. She's not as bad as Eva Marie, but she's not interesting. And I, and Homer time. Nikki Cross is a far more interesting character and a better wrestler than she is. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't look like her. So yeah. And I know the Divas Revolution. Yeah, whatever. So
it looks still. It depends. Kind of like looks sometimes hold you back and sometimes they don't. Cause Shayna Baszler looks are not an issue with her. Nikki Cross looks are an issue with her, and it's because like how they people look at certain things where it's like you don't. It's the same thing. Like Mickey James, like, oh, she's just this old lady. Like a man. Like look at Mickey James. Look at Mickie James and see how great shape he is. She's a good wrestler, but they like, you know, you look how you look. It's like that whole, you got to be blonde. And I would always say, like, to wrap it up, you got to have more of the character, especially it's hard to just get over by being blonde when Charlotte is on TV. Yes. Because you not going to out blonde Charlotte. Like, I could tell when people watching SmackDown, I was on Twitter, and Charlotte came out, and like 8 different people I follow had the same reaction. Like, good Lord, or oh my God, or something to that related. And it's kind of like, she looks the way she looks, she wrestles the way she wrestles, and she just this whole, I'm a super villain, I know I'm a super villain. How you going to out-blonde that? Like, I mean, seriously, like...
It's just funny the way you said it.
The 5'10" daughter of Ric Flair that's like, you know, a super athlete that looks like a Viking and that's like getting the super push, I dye my hair, do something else. Like,
yeah, Carmella? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I have to find a different lane. It's like Lacey Evans, her lane better be like, you know, I'm evil guile or I'm like the all American that looks down to everybody else. Cause if it's just going to be, I'm blonde and pretty, that's not going to go far.
Well, isn't she supposed to be like a somewhat Southern girl too? So there's the charms of the Southern belle wrapped up in the mom. Well, they got rid of the mom part, which, you know, in real life she is, but they got rid of that part. They briefly mention military here and there.
I mean, sometimes she don't come up with the outfit like she used to, but it's like, you know, I'm an all American. I serve my country. I fix my husband home cooked meal because he's a good man. Not like these sorry ass men. All they deserve is hot dogs. Like, no, she basically play off like this Southern belle that thinks everybody else is trash.
Well, I know a lot of people down here like that. So It resonates. But real quick to wrap up on this, the Kofi thing, I'd rather him win it at WrestleMania because that's like the big stage. Mm-hmm. And I just, I would have liked to just have, I don't know, like Shane or whoever say, no, we're doing Kofi and Daniel Bryan again tonight to give you what you want. And Luke Harper's clear. Well, put him and Rowan back together, have him interfere, and just get,
yeah.
And then have at Fastlane, New Day versus Daniel Bryan and those guys.
I have a feeling they're saving Luke Harper for somebody else.
I'm wondering with this whole thing, because Braun Strowman has nobody.
Yes, I'm thinking Luke Harper and Bray Wyatt will come back to help out their old family member. Because it's kind of, because it's like you got six people and you want to kill Tom. There you go. Six-man tag match.
That's what I was expecting at Elimination Chamber. When he was getting his head handed to him, I was expecting Bray, the lights to go out and Luke Harper be there. And then have him go out again and Bray show up. But that whole match, I'm going, that's it? And then Monday they do a rematch and they don't show. I'm going, what? And then you find out Raw was rewritten 2 hours before the show. And they were actually giving formats out during the show. So.
Yeah. And quick thing before we leave Raw. They never need to go to Lafayette again.
Man, I know there's the argument. It's like, well, you have to give people a reason to get off their feet. Well, you know what? They did. And you didn't get off your feet. And I don't care if you bought tickets and you want to sit there. If that show was terrible, okay, I get it. No, that show was not terrible.
That crowd was trash. Like, that crowd was so bad.
Yeah.
And people like, oh, you know, and it's kind of like somebody saying, oh, why they ain't cheering for the NXT people. They're just bringing them up out of storyline. Yeah, that would have held muster if the next night in New Orleans, they got a completely different reaction.
Right.
That just show how, like, how good the crowd was in New Orleans just amplified how bad they were in Lafayette. Like, they don't ever need to have a Raw SmackDown there again. Like, and it was like, no. So I'm like, this crowd is like, it's like the old Anaheim crowds, because that crowd used to have a reputation of being bad. Like,
oh, yeah.
This crowd, I'm like, why did that show up?
Yeah. Kevin and I continually goof on the Cleveland crowds because the lies that are told about that Edge and Christian Hardy Boys match with the ladder match, we were there for that. That place was dead during that match until the end. Nowadays, it's always, oh, everyone was coming unglued, and they showed the crowd.
No, they wasn't.
And I'm like, no, they weren't, because Kevin actually got so upset with everyone, he was yelling at him to stand up, which is, you know, most of the time, that's a dick move. And this time, no, that was absolutely necessary. It was ridiculous. These guys are out there killing themselves. They're sitting there. Not, that didn't happen in the Lafayette stuff, but you didn't even react to, I mean, when China got no reaction, I thought, oh, that's weird. And even Triple H was kind of taken aback, like, what's going on here? So, and honestly, what's there to do in Lafayette, Louisiana, except go to New Orleans?
Yeah, I mean, people are like, well, you need to give them something for the crowd. I'm like, unless Drew Brees comes out and hangs Sean McVay, that crowd ain't cheering for nothing. So it's like they. Somebody said that, like, maybe it's not the type of crowd that cheer for, like, old people. Like, maybe they, like, you need to bring out Hulk Hogan, like that type of person.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. And speaking of the Hulkster who's in your heart and mine, so it's seemed to be like a wrestling renaissance as far as like TV and coverage. And, you know, we talked about how like the movies have like a different, you know, pedigree. Like Fighting With My Family comes out this weekend, directed and written by Stephen Merchant, which is a big deal because he's a very talented guy. Like, I had heard of him, but the first time I seen him was in Logan when he was playing Caliban. Yes. Like, you realize, yeah, that's a tall ass dude. And it's like, you know, they got Lena Headey and Nick Frost and Vince Vaughn in this movie about Paige. Like, I mean, her story is like an important story, but you wouldn't think of, like, you know, that being that type of movie. And like Rotten Tomatoes is like in the 90s so far. So all the reviews I've heard has been good reviews. So come to find out that people want to get in the movie making business, you know, after that in the Andre the Giant documentary, they're going to do a biography about Hulk Hogan starring your favorite Asgardian, Chris Hemsworth, directed by Todd Phillips. These are big names, Jeremy.
I know. You sent it to me. I didn't even read the article until I got home. I just wrote back, yuck. Like, I don't know. Why would you take... Okay, so first, just to make this clear, I did know this at the time. But they're not going to delve into any of, like, his personal stuff that happened with the divorce and all that. None of that's going to be in the movie. Well, wait a minute. Nothing Hulk Hogan has said in interviews, for most part, he picked up Andre the Giant up over his head and slammed it down. No, he didn't. He barely got him up. Well, we didn't know if Andre was going to do this. And it's like, well, no, that's not true either. We don't know anything about Hulk Hogan's that real. So why would this movie in any way be real? If it's, and I understand biographies turn into teledramas. Okay, I get it. But I don't want to see this.
Yeah.
I'll watch it, obviously.
It's not, but it's the whole thing. It's not for us. It's for people. No, because what I know about biographies is the ones that celebrate the character that they're talking about seem to do better financially and are, like, more liked than the quote-unquote real ones. Like, you know, Raging Bull is an awesome movie. How many times have you watched that?
I don't know if I've ever seen it the whole way through, because that's just brutal to get through.
I've watched it once. You know, and it's like, that's all I'll need. Like, it's a lot of stuff I don't want to see. Like, you know, people want to see the ups. They don't necessarily want to see the downs. And it's like, you know, you want to remember your star. And like the NWA one is like,
yeah.
It's like, it's a lot of stuff they skipped out that a lot of people had complaints about. And I'm like, you really want to see Dr. Dre pushing a woman down the steps? Like, I know that happened, but people going to be like, you bobbing your head to the music. And then it cuts to that. It's like, oh. You know, you're going to feel a certain way. And, like, the people who wrote the movie are not going to write about that stuff, you know, for better or for worse. And, like, with this Hulk Hogan one, you know, Eric Bischoff and Hogan are, like, executive producers, so...
Oh, I didn't see his name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like, Hogan's a consultant. Like, Bischoff's one of the main producers for this. So, it's like, people forget, like, Hulk Hogan is a big, like, a big deal in wrestling. Like, even if he didn't know wrestling... You knew who Hulk Hogan was. Like, everybody knew who Hulk Hogan was. He was that popular. He was like, he's a part of America. And I'm not surprised that a movie's coming out. I'm surprised it took this long. I'm surprised that the talent they got. Like, this ain't
talent
some...
for sure.
Yeah, like, you know, Chris Hemsworth. You got Thor. Like, imagine the ego of Hulk. Imagine how Hulk Hogan feel. He gets Thor is playing him in a movie. Like, that's just... I mean, it's something off-putting about the whole thing, because we both know. It's like, and they're going to ignore that other stuff, and that's going to be the thing, because it's going to be like all of the, you know, people that know best, like, this is a fluff job. But the people involved, it's like, what Chris Hemsworth know about Hulk Hogan? Besides, I might remember him when he wrestled. Like, serious, like, a lot of people involved may not delve too deep or don't want to. They gonna remember the stuff that they cheered about as a kid, and Bischoff ain't gonna tell them. You know Hogan ain't. So, and you know the funny thing about it, it's a way of doing the movie, and it can be like a rags to riches movie, because like that whole thing, financial trouble, the stuff with his family, and then he gets all that money from the Gawker lawsuit where he's like living good now. But you can't talk about that and then ignore, like, what was the lawsuit about and the stuff around the lawsuit. Like, you know, oh, yeah, Hulk Hogan got sued because of a sex tape. He was knocking down his friend's wife. And then he talked about how he hates black people.
Yes. And that's why the more you're talking about, the angrier I'm getting about it, which is very weird. I most of the time don't care about this. But how the fuck you have a happy ending for the end of this movie when you know that's not the complete story? And I know, like, you want to give him a fluff job and all this, but who? Well, all right. This is where I was getting irrational. One, there are going to be plenty of sympathizers that watch this movie and go, "See, he's a good guy." Two, there's the people who honestly don't know about it. Mm-hmm. My parents probably have no clue about everything that went on with him. And then three, there's the people like us that do know. Some, it won't matter. But I'm not going to go to theater. You said it was Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So I'll watch it when it's on Netflix, sure. And I'm going to keep it open with, like, little side eye the whole time. Because, and that's just, it's going to be infuriating when it ends. And they're like, Hulk Hogan's, if they put the blurb at the end, like, Hulk Hogan's later life involved, whatever else, they ain't putting that. Not if Hogan and Bischoff are producers. So fuck this movie.
Yeah, and then it's going to be like, if you talk about it, you're going to like, oh, you just a bitter bad guy. Why can't you let a hero be a flawed hero? It's like, no, it's like the same thing.
That's a pretty big goddamn flaw.
Yeah, it's like when Karl Lagerfeld just died this week, and they were like, people like, oh, it's such a shame. He's a titan in the fashion industry. And I'm like, man, fuck him. He was like fat shaming people and was a monster. Like, and it's the whole thing. Like, you can't talk about him. Like, yes, you can. That's when people pay attention. You don't got to treat everybody like heroes just because you like his shoes. Like, if they heroes, that's when, like, Hulk Hogan is an important guy. He ain't no damn hero. Like, he's not. And it's bad enough when WWE dragged him out and brought him out there. It's like, whatever. I didn't watch when he did, and I'm glad I missed it. And now it's like, you're going to see this movie glorifying this, and you know the truth. And especially, it's like, I don't, and it's involving people I like. Like, I like Chris Hemsworth as an actor. I know for him, he doesn't, you know, he's not going to delve too deep. And, you know, because if he did, he probably wouldn't do it. It's like, you know, like, it's just, it's aggravated because it's going to glorify somebody that don't get glorified. And too many, like, Hulk Hogan always just lands on his feet like a damn alley cat. Like, it just never fails.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. All right, so this is also goes to the, like, with Todd Phillips attached, I kind of, well, one, I guess we'll have to see how the Joker turns out, which has nothing to do with it, actually. Never mind that. But his movies are biting. I was watching The Hangover again the other day. That movie's still really good because of how bitter it is. And I don't know how he's going to take that tone with Hulk Hogan, who, you know, what could possibly be going wrong once he gets to the WWE? Or, I'm sorry, WWF at the time. But anyways.
Will he be accepted because he left AWA? Can he overcome the odds because Andre the Giant was there? And, like, you know, Vince McMahon Sr. is old school, like Bob Backlund, not the glitz and the glamour. Can he hold down the upstart Macho Man? Like, it's a way to tell the story.
Well,
but
he did do that, that's for sure.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, it's a dick. And the bad thing is, it's a way, like, we know exactly how this story going to play out. And we're going to roll our eyes because we know the truth. And we know we're not going to see the truth. But if you bring it up, you just, like, the hater, like, why can't you just go along with it? I'm like, because it's nonsense. And it's glorifying somebody that don't need to be glorified. And it's not like a whole self-destructive person like Ric Flair like that. It's, no, it's Hulk Hogan's an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, but a selfish, he's a selfish, even about the whole race and cheating stuff, he's a selfish, lying asshole that sold lies. Like, oh, I prayer and vitamins. I never did steroids. Oh, yes, I did. Oh, no, I didn't. Oh, you're going to have a union? I'm going to snitch on you. Mm-hmm. Like, he's,
yes.
Like, that was a thing. Like, you know, wrestling might have looked a lot different. Hulk Hogan was a goddamn snitch.
Yeah. And, I don't know why I'm so annoyed by this one.
And that says a lot that Hulk Hogan snitched to look out for Vince McMahon, then almost put Vince McMahon in jail.
Well, it's that, and then later tried to put him out of business, too. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I already know how this movie's going to end. It's going to be WrestleMania 18, mm-hmm. where he makes his triumphant return to WWF, and he faces The Rock, and everyone cheers for him. The last part of it will be him losing or whatever, but gaining the respect and getting his life back together.
No. You know what's going to be the ending part if they want to go that route? The next year, because he beat Vince McMahon, the man that tried to ruin him. As they going
to... Oh, yeah.
You know, like that whole thing, like, I made Hulkamania, you're my creation. Hulk was like, no, I'm a creation of the people. The one thing I'm curious about is, who do they get to play some people? Like, you can't have a Hulk Hogan movie without Vince McMahon. Who do you get to play Vince McMahon?
Yeah. I mean, or anybody. I mean, you got to figure Randy Savage has to be in it somehow. Rock. I don't know if The Rock will do it. I doubt it.
I'd rather, you know what? Talking about that, and we can wrap up. I'd rather see a movie about Vince McMahon.
There's that autobiography or whatever, or documentary about him that's still in the works, or I don't know if it's being filmed or whatever, but I don't know how the hell that's going to be in any way accurate.
Because he's just such a complicated man.
Yes.
Like, it's just something like, and I thought about that, and this is like a different segue. Like, I was watching Netflix, because you talk about all the stuff you watch, and I was watching this documentary on Ronnie Coleman. Like,
yes,
the body.
I watched that the other day. Yes.
And...
Yeah, buddy.
Yep. Yeah, just
They glossed over some of his training habits, if you will. So
yeah, because they, as they always do, unless it's related to that, they never talk about that. But to see, I remember him, like, I had started when I started like working out, he was a big deal dude. I remember how he looked. And I remember like all the stuff he did. So to see him now, like on crutches, can barely get around. But somebody says it's like, you know, if you do all over again, he was able to buy himself a house, buy his mom a house, has this $1 million supplement company, and drive her, like, yeah, he's got a handicap sticking on Rolls Royce. And it's just something like, think about that. It's kind of like, yeah, he wrecked, like, was it worth it? And I just think about the whole, like, you know, chasing greatness thing. Like, that's a lonely ass road. People be talking about, like, you want to do this and secure the bag and be rich and famous. And I'm like, no, you don't. I tell people all the time, like, you do not, trust me. Like, it takes a real certain mindset to do that. And most people aren't willing to pay that consequence. And, like, you see him, like, literally pay that consequence. Yeah. You see Hulk Hogan, like, the same, you know, all those people, like, I can't get out of bed. I can't bend down to tie my shoes. What's the point of being a millionaire if you can't even function all life? Like,
yeah, you got to spend your money to have people do that for you. Which, yeah, that's not a joke. I mean, that sucks.
That's based on, you know, like, I knew I got too big when I couldn't take a bath. I couldn't wash my ass. Or I couldn't bend down. Like, yeah. No, I don't. Like, I work out. I wouldn't reach that point anyway, like drugs and no drugs. I would never want to do that. Like, that. I'm friends with a lot of people in that industry. Like, no, I'm not making money for that. That's not my field. My body is not my career. So I'm not pushing myself through that limit. And then like 10 years from now, I got to get new kidneys and a liver, or I got to worry about walking. Like, no thanks. Like,
yeah,
I mean, it may look, and even it's like, that's a very particular look. Like, certain people like that, and most people don't. So you definitely doing that for yourself, just like wrestling, just like Hulk Hogan. It's kind of like, that's a vain, sad thing. And I say all that, even though I can't wait a week from now when they celebrate Ric Flair's 70th birthday.
Yeah, and it's not. I mean, not even just wrestlers. I mean, obviously these were bodybuilding guys, but I mean, look. We don't know what's going to happen with some of these baseball players who were roiding or. Yeah, roiding up, whatever else. I mean,
you have an idea. It's gonna probably end badly, depending on what they were using. Like, like Christian Bale himself talked about. Like, yeah, I already know I wrecked my body. Like, that's the choice I made for my career. They're like, yeah, that normally if you do that to a certain thing, it normally don't end well. Mm-hmm. And you can tell too. Like, you watch linemen, like they retire and drop 80 pounds.
Yes,
and they walk around with, like, you know, polos on. It's like, yeah, they either get real small or they get real fat. Like the guys that might be like 220, 230, they become assistant coaches and they just blow the hell out. Oh, I can eat cheeseburgers all the time without running suicides. I'm going to look like Fat Joe.
Basketball players are some of the key ones. And I understand that because they probably, you know, one, the amount that they run, their knees have got to be shot. So you got that eating habit. Hey, look at old Charles and Shaq. You know Shaq's body's just wrecked because you're not supposed to be that big running that much.
Like, he shows picture of his feet; they just look horrible.
Yeah.
And before we go, our next thing is, you brought up basketball. It's funny. Like, I remember when Dr. J won the dunk contest in the NBA, and it was like, you know, I remember it. He won that in his 30s.
Yeah.
He was jumping from the foul line and them raggedy ass Converse in his 30s.
Yep.
In the 80s. I'm like, that's amazing. Like, I never really thought about that until I was watching the dunk contest this week. I'm like, do people not realize how difficult that was? It wasn't like he did it when he was young in his prime. He already had bad knees by then. He'd been playing for years. And it wasn't like they had the best shoe technology. And he dunked from the foul line. It's people that, like, to put in perspective, Bird and Magic and Isaiah were retired by the time they hit, like, that, around that age time. Like, early, like, 31, 32, knowing that was a wrap. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you see it now, like, people age in dog years now with all the technology. I'm like, it's just funny just thinking about that. And then I think about wrestling when I think about, you know, ages and stuff like that. Like, how is it that these other sports, by the time you're like your early to mid-30s, it's basically a wrap? And then with wrestlers, like, they do a lot of their best work in like their late, their mid to late 30s or early 40s. And it's not like wrestling is easy either.
No. Oh man. I went to a Evolve show, which, mm-hmm. and I'm being dead serious. That was one of the best wrestling shows I've ever been to. That was so much fun. And you see what these guys are doing. Now, we got there, and it was a little bit late because Adam Cole had a long line, and Street Profits are there, and everybody's talk about them with, you know, Montez Ford carries that group, and D'Angelo Dawkins, you know, he's just, or Angelo Dawkins, just whatever. Yeah, that's true. So I felt bad for him because it's kind of obvious. And it sucks.
Like, I mean, when you're with a star, you know what your star. Like, everybody knows what Angelo Dawkins, like, Angelo Dawkins has been in NXT for the longest, and it's kind of like trying to figure out where he, where most of the time people that stay that long are either in the main roster or fired. Like, it's not a lot of NXT lifers, and he's an NXT lifer.
Yeah.
And it's like, you could tell, because it's not like he's bad, but it's like, you with Montez Ford, like, you know, nobody look good when you're playing with LeBron James. Yeah.
Well, it was funny. They actually had them both in singles matches. And Montez was against J.D. Drake, who is one of the more impressive fat guys I've ever seen. He looks like he's a throwback to, like, the NWA guys. So he comes out with the boss man shades, towel around his neck, and the satin jacket. And he's sitting there doing moonsaults and flips and all that stuff. So pretty cool. Well, Ford actually lost clean, surprised me. But they went out, and I can't remember if I told you or Kevin about this, but Montez did the ricochet spot. So we were right off the aisle, and there was two guys and us. We're in the front row, and which I didn't know. That was pretty sweet. And Ford's up there, and I'm like, what the hell is he doing? All of a sudden, he runs, launches himself over the ropes, and lands directly on his feet, and just stands there. He didn't move. Like, you know, Ricochet had the thing where he was going up the ramp a little, so he hit and had to take a few steps forward. Nope. Ford went over. Bang. Stood right there. I lost my mind when he did that. That was the coolest thing I've seen, like, right up close. Until later when A.R. Fox and... Not Killshot. What the hell's his name now? Oh, my God. The guy that played Killshot.
Oh, Sean Strickland.
Thank you. And they just tore the house down. It was funny because, man, I go to these shows because we pay money for them, and I just become a fan. I'm not going to sit there and go, well, this doesn't make any sense. Well, no, it's stupid. I didn't pay $40 to go to the show to sit there. So I get invested in the matches watching, and they were doing this stuff. I mean, they actually had Fox has an entourage now, which is kind of funny. And he got thrown over the ropes, and they caught him, which we figured that was going on. So you're watching that. All of a sudden, you look. Strickland's on the top rope. He jumps off the top rope and does the foot stomp onto Fox through all those people. Again, jumped out of my seat. And I was so excited. I was grabbing the guardrail and banging it up and down. It's like the ultimate warrior. And then realized, oh, I better stop doing that. So it was funny because after the match, like, the entourage, Fox, and Strickland, as they were walking by, like, under their breath, said, hey, thanks, guys. Because the guys next to me were pretty into it, too. And I'm like, were they talking to us? So they actually, like, noticed how excited we were.
I mean, you guys add to it, so no, you should be excited.
Dude, that was so much fun. But that's what I was saying. That was the most diverse crowd I've ever seen. I mean, any show. Mexicans, black people, white people, women, kids, old people, everyone was into it. And I'm like, see, this is so, and it's in the same spot where we've gone to ROH where it's not like that.
Yeah, it's funny where wrestling by its nature has always been diverse, but depending on what you watch, you would never guess that. It's like if you go to like regular house shows or like big pay-per-views, it's everybody. Mm-hmm. It's like it's a whole like mixed crowd, everything. You go to certain shows, it's like, what Proud Boy nonsense is this? It's like everybody looked the same, got the same 4X shirt, and it's kind of like, you know, and it's like they don't want you to be there. Like, no, this is our thing. Like, you know, if you worked there when he was Kevin Steen and eating noodles and noodles, you can't show up now when he Kevin Owens nonsense. It's like, shut up.
Now, there were some people like that, and, you know, whatever. It's like, dude, I got a job, a wife, responsibilities. I can't know everybody.
Uh-huh.
So,
like, I laughed. It was the same one time. Oh, was I look at such and such dressing, like, he trying to be cool. I'm like, imagine wrestling fans talking about somebody else trying to be cool. Like, I have seen a wrestling fan wardrobe. Like, y'all need to leave that be.
Yeah, but no, it was a lot of fun. But my big complaint, there were no mats on the outside.
Ouch.
Exactly. And it's concrete, dude. I mean, it's just glossed over, or was it polyurethane, whatever. But then when the WWE guys got out there, they put mats down.
And they're like, nah, we ain't doing this indie shit, pal. Yeah.
But they didn't go outside the ring at all. My Ford did. That was it. Oh, and poor Dawkins. He had to fight Eddie Kingston. It wasn't anyone's particular fault. The match wasn't good, but it was a brawl, which, you know, can hide a lot. And there were some sloppy spots, which I'm sure weren't supposed to go that way. But to me, it added to it. I thought it made it a lot cooler. So, but, you know, whatever. But yeah, if Evolve or something show like that comes around, go watch, dude. Because that's only two of the matches, or three matches I mentioned. The rest of it was really good, so...
I will definitely try to do that. So,
and it's one like, I honestly think you could take Darlene to.
Okay, well, yeah. that will definitely work because she's kind of soured. Like the last time with the WrestleMania, that kind of soured her feeling about going to wrestling. Yeah. So,
well, that's why I brought it up. And
yeah,
I hate saying stuff like that. It's like suggesting a restaurant to somebody, and you're like, "Oh, it's a great place. This place is really good. It's really good. Yeah, definitely do this." And then to come back and go, "I don't know what you're talking about." Like, ah, shit.
Well, speaking of suggesting, I'm not going to spend too much time on it. I'm going to suggest a show because I found out by accident. It's funny where we complain about so many shows on TV. It's hard to keep track. And it's like stuff can fall by the wayside and you can like find stuff by accident. That happened with me with Killing Eve. Like, it's one of those things where I never really paid too much attention about it. I heard bits and pieces and I didn't know what it was. So Sandra won a Golden Globe for it. And she was crying. I'm like, oh, like she's been around like a lot of stuff, Grey's Anatomy, and she won for that. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I start looking about it. Like I saw the same commercials you saw talking about season two, and I like, this seems interesting. Let me go and like try to find out someone. And it's on Hulu. Like it's a BBC America / AMC show. It's first season's 8 episodes, and I watched it and like. By halfway through episode one, I was hooked. Like, that's all it took. Like, normally, like, some shows, like, you know, it takes a while to, like, rev up. I cannot remember the last time I enjoyed a show so quickly, so much. Like, that show is amazing. Like, the premise of the show, she works for British Intelligence. And she basically hired, like, she worked started with MI5, go to MI6, to track down, like, this woman serial killer. And she's tracking her. The girl finds out that she's being tracked. So they're basically tracking each other, like, you know, getting, like, this. They travel around Europe, different parts of Europe. She's killing her. She's killing people. She's one step behind. They form a relationship. They, like, it's this weird cat and mouse thing. And it's funny where... The show would be a lot different if it was a woman. Like, it only works because it's two women. Mm-hmm. Like, because if it was a woman, if, like, one of the characters were a man, no matter which one, it wouldn't, like, the vibe would be off. I don't know if it'd be too creepy or too, like, icky, something like that. Because the show is real violent. Like, I'll just say right now, they did not shirk the violence. And it's not like they're both heroes. Like, it's almost like Hannibal. Except for instead of, I think that's the best comparison to it. It's like Hannibal. It's like the tone and everything like that. Because, you know, like, I looked up the actress. She's only like 25, and she got the poise. Like, she like 30, like the one that's playing the villain. Like, she's British, like in real life. And it's like, yeah, she's got a lot of, and she's been in a lot of like British type plays and stuff like that. Yeah, like, I could see her having a career, but no. I watched, and even knowing how the episode ended, like the last episode, because I had read reviews by accident, I was still just like amazed at how it got there. Like, it's one of those shows where if you're into like suspense spy shows or any shows like that, I give it the full recommendation, like unabashed, no thing. Like, I was all the way in. I was just amazed. Like, the acting is just... Sandra Oh, she deserved that Golden Globe, because she plays, like, finicky, like, scared, panicky, everyday woman, but trying to do the right thing. She plays that perfectly, because she ain't James Bond. She ain't like, I always do the right thing. She's a human being that makes mistakes and, like, learns from it, and she's out of her element, and she knows she's out of her element, but she does the best she can. And that's hard to do without looking, like, annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to be everyday, like, everyday person, because a lot of times it's patronizing.
When does it come on? Is that Monday?
It,
I guess it doesn't matter if you DVR it.
It's on, it comes back out, I think, in March. Like, season two starts, I think, in, like, March. It's on Hulu. So you can definitely check it out there. The episode is only like 40 to 41 minutes, and it's only 8. So I was able to catch up in like 2 days.
All right. Well, I work 8 hours a day, so I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I didn't realize all the CW shows were on break again.
Except for Supergirl.
Like I said, all the CW shows are on break.
So. And I've fallen behind on. No, I haven't set my DVR to record because CW changed, so Supergirl is the one I haven't gotten around to doing it. And this season, I haven't really been in a rush to, like, I just, like, I lost interest.
Yeah.
So,
and knowing it has no continuity, unless there's a crossover with the other ones, I didn't care. Like, all right, like, John Cryer's gonna be Lex Luthor. Okay. I still don't care.
So it's like, you know, I've, like, it's a break. It's funny, like, all the other shows, like, how it's, like, March or April. So it's just, like, I've had time to catch up on other stuff. Like, I caught up on that, and I was like, this show is awesome. I caught some Netflix stuff, like those Fire Festival things.
I'm going to try and watch that tonight, actually. I've heard about it. I've seen that clip about the guy talking about sucking dick for water.
Yeah.
And I was
I watched, because they had one on Netflix. They had one on Hulu. The Netflix one is way more, like, the Hulu one's more analytical and clinical. Like, they spend half the time, like, talking about, like, millennial culture. The Netflix one is just fun. It's just like, how did this I remember when it happened. I'm like, I wouldn't be too surprised, because all it takes, if you look a certain type and you pretend to be smart, you can sucker people out their money.
yeah.
Like, they're doing, like, but before we wrap up the one they're talking about, they're doing, you ever hear that story about, what's the girl, like, the lady that ran Theranos, like, this health company where they had, like, this blood test, like, if you took a drip of blood, you can do, like, a blood test instead of, like, taking a whole vial, it's sort of, like, revolutionary, and she fleeced all these people out of millions and billions of dollars, and until they realized it was a damn sham, and now they're doing, like, a movie, like, Jennifer Lawrence gonna play the role, like. And people, like, wonder, like, how did she get away with it? Like, it was some smart people, too, that invested money. I forgot some of the people. I was reading a list. It's like, I'm like, because she's a white girl, to, like, she was smart. That's why.
Yeah.
And she was beautiful. It don't take a lot. Like, con artists tend to look a certain type because people want to believe, oh, well, he's handsome. How could he lie?
Yeah, money's kind of a touchy subject right now, so we'll just move on from that one. business money, at least. No, did you get a chance to catch Disappear in Plain Sight?
No, I have not.
Dude, that movie is infuriating. I don't generally watch that, but at least had it on, so I was doing something else while I was there, and my whole time I'm watching it going, I don't know how everybody in this, outside the little girl, are not in
jail. Oh, you're talking about the one where he got kidnapped?
I guess technically, yes, it's kidnapping, but the parents routinely let the guy take her.
Yeah, I saw that, like, mess.
What?
Yeah. And this whole thing, like, the dude seduced the dad to get close to the girl. Well, like,
he didn't have to work too hard.
He did.
Like, I got to relieve some stress. The dad goes, "Want me to jerk you off?" Like, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed weird, but I guess. And it's like, you guess about, like, do I want to get potato chips or, you know, cookies, not don't want to give a handy to this dude. Yeah. Like, I watched that, and I'm just sitting here, and I had this look on my face like, what the hell am I watching? Why aren't all these people in jail?
Yes. Every single time they appeared, I'm like, why weren't you serving time? All of you. And then at the end, I think I was so upset. I was like, fuck this kid for getting kidnapped, too. I was like, this sucks. This whole thing just sucks. But, like, nowadays, that would never happen. I would think it would never happen. And with the internet and everything else?
It would still happen.
Eh, I guess so. Yeah, I'd sometimes I put too much stock in people.
You want to know why I know it still happened? Because the story going to wrap up happened. That's why I know it still happened.
Wait, I'm sorry, what'd you say?
You know how I know it still happened? Because the story we're going to wrap up on happened in 2019.
Oh, God. Yeah, we were at this an hour. I guess we should probably get to this one now. So, how do you say the guy's last name?
Smollett.
So, when this happened, I was like, oh, it's terrible. And I'm like, well, that sucks, dude. And didn't really pay too much attention to it. Like, well, yep. And even the president. This is how dumb this story is. Our dummy president actually said, oh, this is terrible. It's worse. I mean, obviously lying through his teeth, but just, this is the worst that can happen, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yeah, all right.
President
well.
And presidential hopefuls running for president. Like, everybody jumped in this.
With the media as well, which, of course, they do. But...
And it's funny where you hear this story, and I don't know what's okay. I don't know what's worse, the fact that it was so easily believable, or the fact that it might just be made up, or probably made up. Because the fact is, like, you know, this, I mean, he's not a superstar, he's a, you know, he's an actor on a famous show. It's like, you know, gay black man, and some of the news, and people are like, why ain't that surprised? Just the fact that we got to that part where that story seemed believable, like somebody might got lynched in Chicago, it's like, that part is like just mind-blowing. But then you start thinking, like, you know, it's 2:30 in the morning in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, no, white people ain't that damn bold.
Well, I also, like, he said 2:30 in Chicago, and I went, drugs. That was my first thing, and then it was like, well, he got beat up by other people. I was like, oh, okay. But then... The one part that always stuck out weird when I finally did read about it was that he still had a noose around his neck when the police showed up.
Yeah, you didn't take that off?
I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's okay to take it off, dude, because, you know, your DNA's on it already, so you'd be all right.
Yeah, it's like you hear that and you think about hate crime and you think about how bad, because it's like stuff like that has happened in real life.
Yes.
So it's like that's, you know... You can't even go day without. It's funny where I think about that. Like, I forgot what fashion thing might be Burberry. They had, like, the, you know, the hoodie with a noose.
Yes.
They're like, oh, we thought it was related to farming. We didn't realize. I'm like,
it's
March just needs to come. But anyway, so you hear about that. And then you start hearing, you know, like, people start the story don't make sense. Like, it's some people who thought the story didn't make sense from Jump Street. They like to seem like it's, like, fake. And it's like, you know... He hired two people
that worked on the show with him.
That worked on the show, and then apparently they did it. Left the country, like went to Nigeria. They came back, got arrested, and then you think it maybe it's a lover spat and everything like that. And you just hear all this stuff, and then it's like, you know, first they're person of interest, then they're not person of interest. Then we interview them, then we let them go. And then it's like, you know, we want to have him in speak again. He doesn't want to do it. And now they're at the point where they feel like, you know, they want to charge him with, like, a, you know, false crime. And on one hand, it's like that story seemed, like, suspect and, like, sketchy. But on the other hand, it's like, one, we still don't know what happened. It's like, you know, something happened. You know what probably he said happened didn't happen. But no one knows what really happened. And then it's like, I don't blame people being skeptical to, like, jump on the side of Chicago PD, because, like, they were just in the news, too, for, like, not, you know, shooting somebody a zillion times and trying to get away with it. Like, that recently happened. And it's like, yeah, it's like, and then what always gets to me, and my biggest issue with the whole thing is, if he made it up, why? Like, okay. That's... I mean, I get the why, but it's like, because it's been like Ryan Lochte did the same thing.
Well, no, his was supposedly, from unnamed sources, he was worried they were going to cut him out of Empire, which is obviously his meal ticket.
Yeah,
so but, it was basically, if I do this, they can never cut me from the show.
Yeah, all right, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and trust Fox if you want with that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get the whole thing, but it's like, it's a reason why criminals get caught, because they aren't smart. And it's like, you can't get away with this stuff in 2019. If this is like the 80s, no problem. Even the 90s, like pre-forensic and stuff. Now everybody got cell phones, there's cameras everywhere. People will track stuff down. And it's like they have incentive to track this down because it's a high profile case. And it's like, you just making it worse for everybody else who goes through this. Because now if you're going to think like, you know, maybe it's fake, yes, like this story. It's like, it's just fake news. You know how y'all like making up stuff and being like victims. It's like, you just make, like,
yes,
I get the whole I'm looking out for myself. But if you got to throw everybody else under the bus, that's trash.
Yes. And that's, I mean, if this gets solved or if it ever gets solved, that should be the first thing. And just, I mean, basically crucify this guy. And these kind of stories happen. Like, there's always, like, false accusations, whatever else. But, not always, excuse me. Not on a 50-50 scale. But there are false accusations. Most of the time, they are true. The problem is when something like this, and like you said, it fuels other people. And it, to save your position on Empire, which I've never watched a show. I know it was mega popular at one time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's not as popular as it used to be, but it's still not popular.
Yes.
Yes. So it's like, what are you doing? Like, just, you can't stand on, oh, you can't stand on your own merits? Is that a film?
Merit?
I know what the word I was going for, but then did you see when he called himself the gay Tupac?
Oh, God.
That's one. That's just funny. There is no two. That's just funny. Because I'm pretty sure Tupac wasn't really all that much of a, you know, fan of gay people. I'm just going to guess.
Mean, it's just the whole, stuff. Like...
So...
And it's like, you just that damn bold to be talking like that. Like, you can't be like that if you, the story's just made up. Because you just... What was the line Vision said? And, like, Agent Ultron, like, you know... From the Avengers, like, you know, your existence promotes conflict. Like, people want to challenge you because you're there. You out here saying this, people that don't like you are going to come at your neck. If you have any reason for them to be able to stick that blade in, you need to be chill. And he like, oh, I'm a martyr and I'm doing this. And you don't have to be on that. You could be on another show. Like, I mean, you can. Isaiah Washington got work again. And he came out to be a homophobe, calling people the F word like that on raising name. Like, you can't be a black man with that type of slander. And like, he got kicked off of the most popular show on TV, and
at the height of his popularity,
and he somehow eventually found work again. So it's like, you can find work if you worry about getting kicked off Empire. If you was worried about Fox getting rid of you before. I'd be renting instead of buying.
Yeah. Well, they said they cut out all the scenes this week.
Yeah, then they was, and then somebody from Fox and I said, you know, we still support him, and he's
liar.
A part of the family. It's like, yeah, I'm sure. It's like, that's like, you don't need that type of. This didn't need. It wasn't worth it. Like, you could find, you're not at that age where it's like, if I don't, I'm Empire, I'll never work again. You could find another job. You could have popped up on a CW show or any other Fox show. Like, it's funny, one of the people on Empire, I didn't recognize her because she's on The Gifted. She's like one of the, like, the leader, like the inner circle, like I'm the Hellfire Club.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that this season.
Yeah, and I've been watching her, and like Darlene came in, she's like, oh, that looks familiar. Is that the girl from Empire? And I'm like, nah, I couldn't be. And then I looked it up on Wikipedia, I'm like, that is her. And I'm like, I guess black lipstick and a hair change made all the difference, because she looked completely different. So, yeah, you could have found a job on another Fox show, and instead it's like, he just made it bad for himself. He made it bad for everybody else that has to deal with that. And it's just...
The apology tour is going to be... See, here's the thing. This guy, I know he was on Empire. And like I said, not having seen the show, I didn't really know who he was. So when they said popular Empire actor got attacked, I'm like, Terrence Howard? And so I don't know... Is he like one of the main characters on the show or something?
Yes, he's one of Terrence Howard's sons, and his story is tragic because, like, when he was a baby, when Terrence Howard first saw that he was gay, one of the first things he did was take him outside and throw him in a trash can.
Wait, what? How did?
You heard what I said? They had a flashback. Like, he came down the steps one day. He had, like, a dress and some girl's shoes. He's, like, I guess 5 or 6 years old. So how did Terrence Howard, loving but stern dad, handle that? He took him out. He picked him up. He took him out the house and threw him in the trash can. Yes.
Is this a comedy?
It's as ridiculous as I... Yes. No, this show... No, I don't watch Empire anymore.
So stupid.
Yes, I don't watch Empire anymore. That show was insane. Like, shit happened on that show that made Gotham look quaint. That's how crazy that show was. And that show was the most popular show on TV for a while. And it was kind of like...
I don't know why it's cracking me up so much.
You know what's funny? Not the fact that he did it. The fact that I could picture families in real life doing that.
Like, yeah, if you want to bring my mood down, sure. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm with you on that.
I know how, you know, how certain families get down, how they feel about certain things. So that's the thing. It's not that it happened. It's that the fact that you saw it. Because people are like, I can't believe that happened. I'm like, no, I can't believe it showed it.
Well, how did he get out?
The mom came and got him.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious. I don't know.
Yeah, Taraji Henson, like, you better leave my damn son alone. Get him out the damn trash can. Yeah, like, just, there's no way to describe, like, some episodes of Power without just wondering what happened. Like, Demi Moore showed up, like, stalking Terrence Howard for, like, a bunch of episodes.
Oh, you mean Empire. Okay. You said Power real quick. I was like,
like Empire. Like, Power's its own type of crazy. Yeah, yes. And a lot of times, shows get confused. People confuse those shows all the time, too. So, but no, Empire is just insane. So, it's like, I know, you want to get a check, and you don't want to mess up the money. You worry about that. It's better ways to do that than what you did.
Yeah. Yes. Especially, okay, you've ruined your own cred. Fine. Mm-hmm. But like we said, you're messing with other people's lives now. And especially just the way, you know, way people react to things.
That sounds like an episode of, you know, it's funny, this whole thing sounds like an episode of Empire. Or like an episode like SVU. Like, I see what it got to the bottom of this by like the 37 minute. So, it's just thinking about and just hearing this. Like, I can't wait to see this special. It's going to be on Lifetime. Like, this is like, just the story just so insane that this was done. It's not even over. Who knows how it ended?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I guess we should have made this clear. All of this is still just conjecture. Like, this hasn't actually, none of this has actually been proven. So that makes it even stranger. Like, okay, but all sources, everything else, now the cops are, they were putting out strong denials at first, and now they're just kind of letting everything ride.
Officially classified as a suspect in a criminal investigation by Chicago police for filing a false police report, stated the chief communications officer in a tweet. Because that's how we deliver news.
Yeah. All right. Conversely, now imagine, he really did get this. This really did happen to him. And you got to sit here and go through all this bullshit, knowing like, I got my ass handed to me, and I'm sitting here having to defend myself this whole time.
No, like, you're full of shit.
I know. But yeah. It's like, wait, what? So,
and then like they're showing footage of like the two brothers involved buying ski masks and saying sources told the brothers what those make sure you get the mask, don't forget the rope. Like, what type of Fargo nonsense is this? We can wrap it up with this. This is kind of like, people wonder why criminals get caught. Like, because criminals are dumb. That's why they get caught, because cops ain't all that smart. And they are overworked and super busy. It's like they have too much stuff on their plate. So they catch criminals because criminals are easily caught. The ones that aren't easily caught, you never hear about them. Like, you don't see anything and you don't know anything because they know all you got to do is be thorough and keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
And be low. That's all you got to do. Like, it's ways to get around. I hate talking about this because the more I talk about it, the more I sound like a criminal. And my friend be looking at me like, you seem to know a lot. I was like, no, I just know what people look for. It's like people get into patterns. People like to brag, mm-hmm. and people make mistakes. And it's like, arrogance is how most people get caught. You rob a bank and then you buy a Cadillac in cash. And before, like, you couldn't even pay your water bill. You don't think nobody gonna notice that?
Well, so, what was Hell or High Water? That was the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Now, isn't that like a trope in every movie, though? Whenever there's like a heist, it's a heist movie, and there's always one guy, and someone gets mad. Even in that, the Tom Cruise one, American Made, where, you know, like, the wife's brother found the stuff, and he had to blow him up. So, somebody blew him up. I shouldn't say he did, because he didn't. But, yeah, I mean, it's always like that, and it's true. I mean, the guy who was robbing our houses around here, he was just getting brazen about it. He's like, I'm not getting caught. Fortunately, got caught. And, yeah, it's not a matter of being dumb most of the time. Like, some of the time, it's just a matter of being that, you know, cocky about it, which I guess they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah. It's kind of like, oh, you can't even gonna catch me. Like, you know, I'm gonna get away with it. I'm just James. Like, you know, now this guy, like, I'm gonna have you buy the stuff. Make sure you get the noose and the mask. Gotta make it look good and everything like that. Like, he planned it haphazardly. Like, it's a way he could have did this and got away with it. But you can't make up a story talking about you got attacked by a white racist and then hire black people to do it. Uh-huh. Hire white people to do it. Like, if you're going to go that route, Like, come on now.
My criminal empire would have fallen apart without your advice. Because I was like, yeah, don't hire. Oh, yeah. I guess
it's. You know, I know we saw black Klansmen, but normally, like, white nationalists don't be recruiting the brothers, so to speak. So it's like, if you're going to go that route, you know, first you pick a different part of Chicago where white people live. You hire white people to do it. You don't got to have, got the noose around his neck. What is this, like, Scooby-Doo? Like, those old, I think, you know, like, they got a bomb that says bomb on it, where it's like, you could tell somebody that learned about crime by watching movies. It's like, if this is how I did a crime, I would do it this way. I'm on the stage. And, like, come on, man. And, like, this. Beside the fact that it was just wrong, I just hate about how haphazard, like, the professional in me hates about how haphazard and sloppy it was.
Yeah, and it's funny, when you mentioned, like, I just learned all my criminal choices from movies. I'm like, oh, yeah, we should be experts at it by now.
Most people learn most of the stuff, like, if you didn't learn in school, most people learn most things in life from TV and movies. Unfortunately, you're learning the wrong thing. Like, the real stuff you normally don't see. And, like, those shows tend to be boring anyway. So, yeah.
Hey, did you see Battle Angel by chance? Speaking of movies?
I have not.
Neither have I.
I've been curious to see it. Because it's like, the reviews made about, like, if not that bad. Like, it's okay. And all of them crap on the love story. But it said beyond that, like, the movie itself is fine.
Yeah,
and I guess. Too. They said there was, like, some stuff in there to have a sequel. So, because quote-unquote, someone makes a cameo appearance in the movie that was unexpected. And I'll just leave it at that. I saw Happy Death Day 2, which was fun. And that had a post-credit scene. What's all these movies doing this Marvel shit? Like, I didn't even see that. I found about it by accident. Talking about, oh, yeah, after the credits, it's a scene that sets up the next movie. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, all right. I'm trying to think of, there was a movie back in the 90s that had a post-credit scene. And it was like, it blew everyone's mind. Because no one stayed back then. Ferris Bueller had it, but that kept going. That was the 80s, but that kept going. But there was another one. I wish I could remember what it was. But yeah, I worked at the movies when it was out.
Yeah, it's been some movies that have done that. Before, like, Marvel made it, like, a thing. But before that, a movie did. But it wasn't, like, it wasn't common. It was, like, a rare thing. Because who would think to stay? And
Masters of the Universe had one.
I remember, like, even, when did The Great come out? That Liam Neeson Wolf movie.
Oh, that was 2000s.
Yeah, so that was, like, right around the time Marvel movies. But Marvel was a big thing. And that had one. And I found out that one after the fact. Like, you know what funny thing? Wrap it up. I didn't stay for the end of Iron Man. I wonder how many people missed that whole S.H.I.E.L.D. part when Iron Man first came out. Because why would you stay?
I'm trying to remember if I did or not.
I found out about it later. And I didn't see it until I saw it on YouTube. I found out it's about, post-credit scene sets up, you know, for the Avengers. I'm like,
No. Yeah, I did see that in theaters. Yes.
I mean, what you mean post credit? Like Samuel Jackson? Like, I'm like, what are y'all talking about? And then I see the clip, and I'm like, nobody. I remember when I saw opening night, and when he came out with Iron Man, and the credits start showing, people just walked up and left because that's what you did when movies came out. And now it's like, you know, you trained to stay, but even then, it's kind of like, you know, if it's a non-Marvel comic movie, you're not really thinking post-credit things.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, because we stayed for all of Jurassic World, or Lost Kingdom Jurassic World, that piece of shit. And then it was just nothing. So I was pissed off about that, because that movie was bad anyways. I'm talking about the sequel to Jurassic World, people, not the first one. Yeah, because King Kong... No. Skull Island had one.
Yeah, Skull Island had one.
Did Godzilla have one?
No, it did not.
Yeah.
The first Fast and Furious had one.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Because it showed up, I think he was in like Mexico or Bolivia. And he's racing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, like I'm trying to think. It was one that just came on. I can't even think of it. It was like a 90s movie. But it was some movies that have done that. But it wasn't like a commonplace thing. Yeah. So it's not like you didn't think about staying. But now it's like the whole, you know, you think about staying. It's like, and I guess we'll definitely stay because soon Captain Marvel will be here.
2 weeks. Pretty cool. I got my tickets already. And I'm guessing once that comes out, they'll put the Avengers on sale. So
yeah, I know. Yeah, and I also know, to wrap it up, the trailer for the next Star Wars movie is supposed to premiere with Avengers movie when it comes out.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought we were going to say Captain Marvel. Wow, they're going to wait. That makes sense. Because Avengers is going to be bigger than Captain Marvel. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you know, had to worry about, you know, we got to worry about Disney and their money.
You know, they tried saying they didn't make money last year.
Yeah, all right.
Then that's what I was talking about off the air, about the other stuff. All these companies do this stuff. And because, like, even Verizon, they're in debt. And you're like, more than half the country's on your service. What the hell are you talking about? And you ain't cheap either.
The only way I could say Disney probably saying that is they said they use their profits to put in the Disney Plus. Because everything I heard about Disney Plus saying is that's going to be a money loss in the beginning. Like, they going, like, it's expensive as hell. They're going to eat the costs because they're thinking long term. And that makes, because you think about companies, like, a lot of companies make money, but you don't hear about a lot of companies having like a lot of cash involved. That's why Nintendo always stands out, because people make fun of Nintendo. Like, Nintendo always has money. And they always brag about, like, yeah, we do things the way we want because it works. Like, you have, since Nintendo came out with the NES, you never heard of Nintendo having money issues. Like,
I thought they had money issues in between. What was the one before the Wii?
The GameCube.
Yeah,
they weren't making the profits they would normally make it, but it wasn't like, you know, we worry about our company thing or we going out of business like Sega. But it's like, no, ever since the Wii came out and like. Between the Wii and between the Wii and the Switch, it's like Nintendo set. You know.
Yeah. You mentioned Sega. That's got to be one of the most colossal failures.
Uh-huh. Because people talk about WCW.
Everyone had Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing. I mean, my roommate had the Dreamcast, which apparently is a great system. Yeah, but PlayStation was out.
Yeah. They messed up because, one, the whole Sega CD thing.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, get attachments like that. And then they dropped the Sega Saturn and dropped it early before anybody knew it was out and didn't have any games, and then got slaughtered when the PlayStation came out. So, yeah, that was basically the nail in the coffin. Like, I was a Sega person because, like, Genesis always seemed like fun. Like, the sports games was way better on the Genesis Super Nintendo. Super Nintendo was like, yeah, if I want to play Zelda, Mario, I'll play that. If I want to play fun games, like, you know, Mortal Kombat had Blood on Genesis and then had Blood on Super Nintendo. So it's like, but then they just kept dicking around. It's like, but I left Nintendo too. Like, once PlayStation 1 came, and I was like,
Yep.
Because it's, I think N64 with like the cartridges, you had to add a rumble pack and all this stuff and everything. Because I was a Genesis person and Nintendo. Then I was a Nintendo person. Then Sony. I've been like Sony since the PlayStation. So.
Yeah. See, I've got an Xbox because when I started dating Elise, her son had. I already had an Xbox, but then he had one. So then we'd play online together. So I've always been, and that's what he's got now. So it's, we just, you know, keep the same thing. So, oh man, I've got Scream on in the background. It's been ages since I've seen this. What a violent beginning to this movie.
Mm-hmm.
God, just disemboweling everybody. It's crazy. So, all right, so let's not derail that. Sorry, let's get out of here on that one.
From playing online to disembowelment.
Yep, that's pretty much how life goes. So, mm-hmm. All right, gang, thanks for listening. We watched off Sunkran and all your social media. Kevin was off dicking around in Vegas over the weekend. He actually went to the TNA Impact tapings. So I'll be curious to hear about that. Saw some good stuff, apparently, too. So, so Sunkran Audio will be back maybe this week, but it'll be back next week for sure. And then, we'll be back next week, too. So, happy birthday to you. I'll say it over this, but I'll say it anyways on Saturday. And, gang, have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdulhadi, and I'm looking forward to Robert Downey Jr. starring as Vince McMahon in his next movie. We are out.